Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today? And it's so exciting. I'm so excited. Do you know?
Well, before we get to what we're doing today... Okay. What we did yesterday.
Yeah. Actually, remember?
We did. And then in case you missed it, I forgot to send it out when I should have.
You forgot to post it.
So
you forgot to hit publish.
It got released like tonight as we're recording this. I'm like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this and you're like, wait, did I miss something? You might have. If you didn't listen to 14, mm-hmm. then you know you should go back. Because there's something in there. Because things happened. And
they did.
You missed stuff if you missed it. So don't miss it because Jesus Christ.
Yeah, go listen
to... Dude died.
What are you trying to say?
Okay, first of all, it starts off kind of boring.
Wait. What are you talking about?
2 Maccabees chapter 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It starts off kind of boring, right? Who the fuck was it? It was Demetrius sends Nicanor to go deal with Judas. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because Alcimus is like, hey, I suck and I want power, so you should give it to me. And they're like, cool, man. Yeah, we're going to do that. And so Nicanor goes and is like, hey, Judas. And then they become best buddies.
Hey, Judas, you are too big. Let's be friends instead of me killing you.
Yeah, so they become buds. And then Alcimus is like, hey, Demetrius, what the fuck, man? He's being friends with him over there. And then Demetrius is like, that's not cool. And then he's like, hey, you should go kill him and stuff or do whatever. And anyway, long story short, things happen. We get to the end and... Holy fuck.
Oh, yeah. The guy and... I don't want to give spoilers almost.
If you missed it...
If you know, you know.
Let's just say somebody died in a very horrendous fashion. Like, beyond awful.
It was so ridiculous that as soon as we got done, we ran over to find Kid and we're like, Kid, you got to listen to what happened. And Kid was like... I'm watching videos and you're stopping me to listen to a Bible story. And we're like, no, listen. And we told them the Bible story.
And look, I just do a recap and we move on. But since I released this late, I don't want to give it away for anybody that might have missed this mm-hmm. and moved on to the latest episode because holy shit.
You can just
fast forward to the end of the episode and listen to like the last quarter of it.
Yeah.
And get the gist of it. You know,
that like, guy's death, shit. It came out of nowhere and then it was epic, but it was like, what the fuck?
Anyway, that was 2 Maccabees chapter 14.
It sure as fuck was.
Which means that today...
Oh, yeah, back to my excitement.
We're ending this whole thing.
We're ending all of the Old Testamentalists.
Yeah, even the Catholic ones. Yeah, and so what are we doing today?
We are reading 2 Maccadoodles chapter 15.
The ultimate,
not the penultimate, which was the one that you didn't publish until
now. Right. Now, this won't be the last episode before we get to the New Testament. But
no, because I will be having a Q&A over chapters 11 through 15, which we need.
Right.
Because except for that epic death, we kind of don't understand what else was happening.
There was a lot of names thrown out and a lot of things, like run on set. It was just bad. There was a lot of bad shit.
It was so many things happened. It was like they were like, oh, we only have a chapter left. We got to hurry up and wrap this up.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, it was too confusing. So we have that Q&A over the last five chapters. Then I want to do a what were the Maccadoodles' and the whole Old Testament like kind of wrap up?
Sure.
And then I think we'll have like a You're Always Wrong episode because that's just good fun. Well,
right, because we do those things. Mm-hmm. Contradictions. We do contradictions.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have an intro to the New Testament.
Okay.
And I'm very excited about that.
Before we get into the episode today, I do want to cover a couple of things, because when I mentioned contradictions, it reminded me of something I wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. So for those
you're going
to
mention a thing,
I'm going to mention a thing that I reminded myself of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For those of you who haven't been over to our website recently, it's been completely reworked, and there's some really cool features on there now. So like if you go back into our episodes and you click on, let's just say Genesis 1 through 3, like our first episode, right? Mm-hmm. You scroll all the way to the bottom of it. There's going to be contradictions down there that are in that episode from the ByteViz project. And I've imported all these things in there to where they correlate to all of our other episodes. So if you click on one of those contradictions, it goes to it, tells you which episodes
relate to those
contradictions, and which ones are yes, which ones are no, or whatever the contradiction is, it tells you where those are.
What you're saying is it's way more research friendly and useful for students who are studying this shit.
Right. And also we have a science-y like research thing. If you go down to the bottom footer of the page, any page on our website that you should check out. And also you should really go to our 404 page. So if you just go to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com/404, it's like the where this page is missing thing. You should check that out too. Anyway,
you just had so much fun putting that one together.
I really did. And it's not done. I'm like, oh, the events page is updated too. It's very relevant and good.
Oh, so, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I saw all the updates, and normally I'm like, oh, yeah, we do have a website, don't we? Mm. And I'm like, you updated it again. Go you. And I'm like not enthralled because I don't do that stuff. And it's just boring to me. But I have to say, husband put a lot of work into it. And it looks really good now. It's very user friendly and it's very useful.
It is.
So I'm giving it the wife enthusiasm stamp of approval.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That being said, are you you ready to get into 2 Maccabees chapter 15 today?
Sure as fuck am.
Well, let's do it.
Okie dokie. All right, we are hopping into 2 Maccadoodles chapter 15.
Okay.
The last of the Maccadoodles.
The last of anything in the Old Testament.
There's actually a book called The Last of the Great Wing Doodles. Did you know that?
I didn't. I'm not
you
sure.
You should, though, because I've told you it before.
You've told me so many things before.
So many irrelevant and dumb things.
I mean, you
can't keep them all.
I think you've told our listeners quite a few of those as well. Mm-hmm, so,
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've said it on here before. It's by Julie Andrews, the last of the great wing doodles. The really great wing doodles.
The really great ones.
The last of them.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at.
Okay. Yeah.
Chapter 15.
Yeah.
But Nicanor, you know, this is after that guy died.
Right.
Like, what's his name? Like, Rhesus or something? Rhesus?
Rhazes.
Rhazes?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Rhesus pieces. Got it. But Nicanor, hearing that Judas and his company were in the region of Samaria, resolved to attack them with complete safety on the day of rest. Not the Sabbath. When the Jews who were compelled to follow him said, "Don't destroy so savagely and barbarously, but give due glory to the day which he who sees all things has honored and hallowed above other days."
Yeah.
That's Yahweh. They're talking about Yahweh.
Right.
They're like, don't do shit on the Sabbath because you're supposed to take that day to rest and appreciate Yahweh.
That's God's day.
Yeah.
You can't even pick up sticks that day.
Not God. Yahweh. There's different gods.
Right.
I'm not saying
Yahweh has killed people for picking up sticks on the Sabbath.
No, before. Yeah. I'm saying don't call him God. Call him Yahweh.
I'm sorry. You do whatever you want. I'll do me and you do you.
I'm sorry, but I will no longer refer to this guy as God because there are different gods and this guy is a petty little bitch.
But you know what? Someone's got to say it because we might have listeners that pop in and they'll be like, Yahweh fucker?
He's a fucker. He's a dick.
He is a dick.
Don't worry about it.
I'll call him a dick all day long.
Will you? Then the thrice accursed wretch asked if... You thrice accursed wretch. asked if there were a sovereign in heaven who had commanded to keep the Sabbath day. When they declared, "There is the Lord, living himself as sovereign in heaven, who told us to observe the seventh day."
Did he tell you or tell somebody thousands of years ago?
I think that's
you know,
the
one. I'm just curious.
It. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. He replied, I also am a sovereign on the earth who commands you to take up weapons and execute the king's business.
Mm.
Nevertheless, he didn't prevail to execute his cruel plan.
I see.
So dude is like, and guess what? You've got a king in heaven, and that's cool, 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 my guy. But I'm a king on earth. And I say, pick up your fucking sword and fight. And they're, like, nah. And Nicanor, in his utter boastfulness and arrogance, had determined to set up a monument of complete victory over Judas and all those who were with him. But Maccabeus still trusted unceasingly with all hope that he should obtain help from the Lord. He exhorted his company not to be fearful at the assault of the heathen, but keeping in mind the help which in former times they had often received from heaven. So now also to look for the victory which would come to them from the Almighty, and encouraging them out of the law and the prophets, and reminding them of the conflicts that they had won, he made them more eager.
Well, yeah, that's what you do. You rally the troops, right? You're like, hey, remember how we won all these fights? We're going to do it again, guys.
Fight, fight.
And this God guy, this Yahweh guy, he's on our side.
Yeah.
He might be a dick, but we win battles because of him.
Stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. Yeah. Lean to your left, lean to your right, you know?
Yahweh.
Yahweh.
It feels like a cheer.
Oh, okay. A wave.
Sure, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And when he had aroused their courage, he said aroused.
He did.
He got them aroused, them and their courage. He gave them orders, at the same time pointing out the faithlessness of their heathen and their breach of their oaths.
Mm.
So he's like, God damn it, y'all need to fucking fight. And then when they stand up, he's like, see, you don't even fucking believe in your God anyways. Right. Wait, I'm punished either way? Hold on.
I feel like that's a little bit counterproductive for rallying your troops, you know?
That's some narcissistic bullshit. Like, it's a double bind. You can't win either way.
Well, if he loses, then he's got a reason. He's like, well, because you fuckers, it was your fault.
Yeah, yeah. Even though I made you do it.
Right. You didn't do it good enough.
Yeah. Or you shouldn't have been doing it in the first place.
Obviously, it wasn't in your heart.
Or you should have fought me harder and said, no, we can't fight on the Sabbath. Or whatever. Yeah. Arming each one of them, not so much with the sure defense of shields and spears as with the encouragement of good words. And moreover, relating to them a dream worthy to be believed, he made them all exceedingly glad.
Maybe that's how the U.S. is going to cut down on their military spending. They're just going to give us God so they can not buy us, you know, weapons.
I don't think that's true at all.
No?
I think they're going to give us God and weapons. Because have you seen all
the
shit?
Well, I already know we don't outfit our military as well as we should. So I'm just saying, like, maybe in place of that, you know, like, you know, you can't have that armored vehicle, but God, you know?
Well, we're also maybe like going to do a mandatory draft. And I know that they are already extending the age of enlistment.
They are doing that. I am. And look,
that freaked me out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're in a bad spot with regard to.
Because NATO's conflicts. Like, fuck you. We're out. We're not helping you.
Yeah. Well. Why would they?
No, they shouldn't.
We got ourselves in this fucking mess, and
yes.
We caused the whole fucking thing.
So. Yes. Please, NATO, don't help us be the bully and bad guy. Continue to be like, fuck nah. Yeah. America, you're on your own.
Right. Somebody's got to be the bigger person, you know?
Or the smaller person who's like, Jesus Christ, I'm not doing that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The vision of that dream was this.
Mm.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Onias, he who had been high priest, a noble and good man, modest in bearing, yet gentle in manner and well-spoken, and trained from a child in all points of virtue, with outstretched hands, invoking blessings on the whole body of the Jews.
He's really good.
He's good. He's the goodest good.
That guy's good.
Then he saw a man appear of venerable age and exceeding glory, and the dignity around him was wonderful and most majestic.
Okay.
Onias answered and said, this is the lover of the kindred, he who prays much for the people and the holy city, Jeremiah, the prophet of God.
Oh.
We got a Jeremiah in the house.
Hmm.
Jeremiah stretched out the magical Jeremiah.
Is this like Jeremiah the bullfrog guy coming back?
Like the ghost.
Ghost of Jeremiah?
Yes. We believe in ghosts now.
Okay.
Remember?
All right.
Sometimes we believe in ghosts.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Jeremiah stretched out his right hand and delivered to Judas a gold sword. You know.
Wow. Gold.
It's a magical sword.
Yeah. And you know what? But it's funny because previously in the Bible, God didn't like gold or silver.
Right.
At certain points.
Right.
So.
That still holds true with a lot of myths and legends of werewolves or vampires or fairies.
Sure.
Like a lot of your older myths and legendary creatures.
I think based on my reading of, or our reading of the Bible, because you remember how they used to be fearful of iron as well?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
which is another one of those. It seems to me
that they're fearful of things at earlier times in their upbringing, sort of, as a culture,
uh-huh.
because they don't know how to wield those metals as well as other people.
Right.
And so people are making these amazing weapons out of metal that they're like, holy shit. So they're scared.
Their gold is scary. Scary gold. Gold
right.
is scary. And then when they learn how to do it, they're like, gold is awesome and magical. We love gold.
Right.
Gold is so cool.
Yeah.
Look what we can do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that sounds right. That sounds right.
They're scared of it. That's why it's bad mm-hmm. at first. Mm-hmm. In my opinion. I could be completely wrong about that, but it feels correct.
That tracks. They were also afraid, and like a lot of myths and legends, again, with regarding fairies and vampires, of moving water, fresh moving water.
Okay.
Like in the movie Sinners, right at the end, the young kid, I forget his name, but he's the one who was the singer who invited accidentally by being such a good guitar player and singer.
Spoiler alerts.
Anyway, yeah, he jumps into the water and like the Remick, the main vampire guy, doesn't quite get him.
Right.
Like he kind of slows down a minute.
Yeah.
And it's believed that it's because he jumped in moving water.
Mm.
And like vampires are like ixnay on the moving water.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that. I knew garlic and sunlight.
That's garlic and sunlight. And also, you have to be invited in.
Right.
And apparently, there's a whole bunch of people out there who don't know vampire lore and didn't know that that's a common theme in vampire. Like, did you not ever read Interview with the Vampire or watch any single episode of Buffy ever? Like, what?
I mean, I could see that being the case for somebody.
Oh, I don't understand that person. We don't have very much in common, I do declare. I'm just saying. Stop shaking your head at me. No, you're right. You're right. Maybe they grew up differently from me.
Yeah.
I love me a good vampire movie.
Right.
Blade was so bloody, but so good.
Well, let's be honest. A lot of people that are listening are
they might be. Yeah, they might be deconverting.
Would have maybe not even been allowed to.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my mind has been stretched today. I apologize for being so elitist and snobby with regard to your knowledge of vampire lore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just so you know, it's common. Vampires need to be invited in.
There you go.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Also, I have feelings about vampires.
Wife does have feelings about vampires.
And
zombies.
And zombies. Oh my God. I love zombies books. I'm iffy on zombie movies because they're too scary for me. Zombie games and zombie shows, like, they're too scary, but I love zombie books and zombie comics.
Right.
Ooh, but they're so scary.
It's like a love-hate thing.
They're scary. They chase you.
Yeah.
They chase you and they get you.
Do you remember when we went to Peoria, Illinois that one time?
Oh my God, that was terrifying. That was terrifying. We went to Peoria, Illinois for... my son was at a like karate, a national karate tournament thing.
Right.
And so, like, we don't just travel around. We're not just people who travel randomly to weird cities like Peoria.
I mean.
And so there we are in Peoria and.
Little known fact, that's where fluoride was invented.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Like, that's the first time they put it in the public water.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
So we're walking around the streets of Peoria and we're like, so this is Peoria. Huh. And like the whole place is a fucking vibe and it's not a good one. At least our experience that night was not like first.
It was daytime.
It was daytime, but we kept, like...
And we did walk after night after it was dark as well.
But remember, there was, like, nobody there. Like, yeah. The streets were empty.
They were.
And the karate tournament was not that big.
The few people we did see did look a little bit like zombies.
They did. It was creepy. And also, the scariest part, we saw, like, a whole crowd down at, like, the pier.
Yeah.
Along the lake or whatever.
Sure.
And we're like, what's happening down there? And
I think it was a river, but regardless.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Water.
Right.
Water again. Yeah. And we're like, oh, there's all the people. What's going on? And so we get closer and closer and we see that it's like cordoned off and that there's police. And we're like, what the fuck is happening? And yeah, there was a dead body in the water that they were pulling out.
Mm.
And we were like, we're going back to our room now. We did. We hightailed it back to the hotel room. We're like, it is scary. And I'm sorry, Peoria. Like, that's probably...
You guys had some lovely, you know, buildings that we saw.
I'll be honest. I don't remember the buildings.
There was that one church I remember we saw. It was really beautiful. It was
like I'm sure
stone,
you're right.
Stone and old. And
I'm sure whatever. You're right, but that was not my takeaway.
Sure.
It was a very scary experience for me, and that is what I took away.
It wasn't that scary. It just...
Because of my personal baggage with zombies.
Right.
And it felt like a zombie experience.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. That was way off topic.
It really was.
Well, you brought up Peoria.
No, I did.
That wasn't my fault.
It's fine.
Okay. Anyways, magical ghost of Jeremiah.
Who doesn't want to just randomly talk about Peoria in the middle of a podcast? Like, that's definitely a best-selling podcast right there.
Look, I'm always up to talk about any story in my life ever because I just love talking about things. And one of my personal mottos is that catastrophe now makes a great story later.
Yeah.
And I love enthusiastically telling you things.
FYI, we'd love to hear from like our one Peoria fan out there.
Yeah, explain. That's why I was apologizing. Like, I'm sorry to Peoria. Like, I don't mean to impugn what might be a great city. Like, I recognize that experience was mine alone and that the city's probably great outside of that one time that I went there, that one night, that one thing happened.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sure it's fine. Would I go back? I don't know. Maybe with a crowd, but I don't know. Okay. There's other cities I would want to visit first.
Sure.
But having said that, I would want to visit Peoria before I'd want to go back to Texas.
Mm, okay.
How about that?
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, the magical ghost of Jeremiah stretched out his right hand and delivered to Judas a gold sword.
Mm.
And in giving it, addressed him thus, "Take this holy sword, a gift from God, Yahweh, with which you shall strike down the adversaries."
Okay.
Well, that did not happen in First Maccabees, I could tell you.
No, I'd be a little weary of this because a gold sword is going to be kind of a soft sword. Like, gold is a soft metal.
Do you mean is gold coated?
Gold, yeah, if it's gold plated, that's one thing.
Or do you mean, like, maybe just a handle?
But if it is really gold,
maybe just a scabbard.
God really better be in this sword because otherwise it's probably just a piece of shit.
Otherwise, God doesn't know what he's doing.
It's just going to bend a lot.
And I'm really sorry to tell you this, but if God gave you a sword that's actually just made out of gold, that might mean that, once again, your God is a puny God who doesn't know what the fuck.
He certainly doesn't know much about weaponsmithing.
Or geography.
Well, that too.
I mean, that's a we learned that way back in the beginning.
Right.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
No.
He also doesn't know science, like, at all.
No.
Like, at all.
You'd think he would since he created it.
Did he, though?
Well, I mean, hypothetically, if he created everything, you know, then he had to have created science.
He didn't create, what was the wisdom? Remember?
Right.
Remember? Because she was the bitch in the corner,
right.
Wisdom,
yeah.
That he did not create. He did not create her.
I mean, yeah.
It specifically said that.
No, I know.
And
I know.
I'm like, oh, damn. Like, we had a whole conversation about that. So he didn't create everything. There are some things that exist outside of Yahweh.
Yeah.
So, and wisdom is one of them.
Like the land of Nod.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, right.
I don't know if he created that or not. It didn't specifically
Didn't seem
say.
Like he did, but I mean, you know, whatever.
He's like, go over there, get out of here.
It's very touch and go as to what he did and what he didn't do.
I don't think he did a lot. I think he was just a little local deity guy.
Right.
Who got blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
Fucking Christians. Being encouraged by the words of Judas, which were noble and effective. and able to incite to virtue and to stir the souls of the young to manly courage. Mm. They determined not to carry on a campaign, but nobly to bear down upon the enemy, and fighting hand to hand with all courage, bring the matter to a conclusion. Well, if they're fighting hand to hand, what does he need a golden sword or a sword of anything for that matter?
Well, I mean, hand to hand combat, I think, usually does entail weapons that you hold in your hand as well.
I think that's false. I think hand to hand combat means weaponless.
Mm.
When you say hand to hand combat, that usually means just like boxing and punching and stuff, or like wrestling.
That's not how I've ever interpreted it, but
hand-to-hand combat means without weapons.
I get the specific meaning of it, but that's not how I've ever known it to be used. Usually when someone is referring to hand-to-hand combat, there are bayonets or there are something else involved.
I protest, and I think you're wrong.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to look this up because it matters to me.
Okay.
Hand-to-hand combat. Make a note.
Okay.
Courage, blah, blah, blah. Courage. Because the city, the sanctuary, and the temple were in danger for their fear for wives and children, and furthermore for family and relatives, was less important to them. But greatest and first was their fear for the consecrated sanctuary. I mean, look, basically what's happening here is they're like, I mean, I hope my wife makes it, but goddamn, this temple better last. If I gotta pick one or the other, I will fuck this couch in this temple all day, said J.D. Vance.
Right.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. just for the record, hand-to-hand combat. No, hand-to-hand combat usually does not mean just hands. It just means close quarter fighting between people, and it can include punches and grappling, elbows, knees, kicks, throws, holds, chokes, sometimes knives or short-range weapons, depending on context.
So, but not swords. It said knives, but not swords. It means close up with your hands.
Right, but close up in this day and age is anything where you're not dropping a bomb on somebody.
I'm going to say you're wrong still.
Okay, all right.
That definition sounded very wrong.
But it's not. That's how I've always... I said that before looking it up, and that the looking it up still specifically says weapons.
No, the only weapons involved are...
Knives or short-range weapons, depending on context.
Knives or short, like short. A sword is not short-range.
It really is. It really is. It's just definitely not long-range. Unless you're unless you can throw really far.
Okay. I disagree with you.
All right.
I think you're wrong.
I'm just telling you, I've never heard it used in just hands.
Okay.
Like ever.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Okay.
But anyways, these guys were like, fuck the women and children, save the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And I think that that says everything we need to know about them, honestly. Also, those who were shut up in the city were in no light distress, being troubled because of the encounter in the open country.
Well, yeah. Their fates depend on what happens, you know?
Like, they were all scrolling Twitter back when Twitter was Twitter for updates.
Hey, go get up on that hill. See what's going on.
Yeah. And, ooh, light your fire and do a smoke alarm.
Yeah.
And let me know what's happening.
Right.
When all were now waiting for the decision of the issue, and the enemy had already joined battle, and the army had been set in array, and the elephants brought back to a convenient post, and the cavalry deployed on the flanks, Maccabeus, perceiving the presence of the troops and the various weapons with which they were equipped, and the savageness of the elephants, holding up his hands to heaven, called upon the Lord who works wonders, knowing that success comes not by weapons.
Not weapons. The gold sword is fine.
Yeah.
Not weapons.
Okay? Not weapons.
Right.
Good, because I put it down because it was too heavy.
Yeah, right.
But that according to how the Lord judges, he gains the victory for those who are worthy.
Mm.
Oh, so I don't even have to try as long as I'm worthy.
He was just yelling at his own people for not being worthy earlier, so I guess it's not going to be them.
Interesting. And calling upon God, he said this. Ready?
I'm ready. Yeah.
You, O sovereign Lord, Yahweh, sent your angel in the time of King Hezekiah of Judea, and he killed of the army of Sennacherib as many as 185,000.
I remember that.
So now also, O sovereign of the heavens,
Yahweh. They call him that event quite a bit in Maccabees.
They do.
The Maccabeans.
The Maccadoodles.
The second Maccabeans, anyway. So,
Yep. So now also, O Sovereign of the Heavens, Yahweh, send a good angel before us to bring terror and trembling. If I was God or whatever, I would be like, my guy, I gave you a gold sword. I already sent an angel. Right? What the fuck?
What the fuck do you want?
I was already there the last fucking battle that you called me.
Yeah, you call me every time. I'm getting a little sick of this, man.
It's not up to you. I don't have to. If I don't want to, I'm God. I'm busy.
You guys are becoming too much of a problem down there.
I'm busy being in the future where they have Netflix. Y'all just don't even know.
If I just send a flood, I could, like, nap for the next 200 years.
Through the greatness of your arm, continued my dude.
Yeah.
Let them be stricken with dismay who blasphemy have come here against your holy people.
Mm.
As he finished these words, Nicanor and his company advanced with trumpets and victory songs.
Yeah.
But Judas and his company joined battle with the enemy with invocation and prayers. Please God, please God, please God, please God, please God. Fighting with their hands and praying to God with their hearts, they killed no less than 35,000 men.
Damn.
Being made exceedingly glad by the manifestation of God.
I see.
So God manifested, huh?
Apparently.
Coo, coo, coo.
Yeah.
When the engagement was over and they were returning again with joy,
yeah,
they recognized Nicanor lying dead in full armor. Nicanor dead.
Yeah.
Then there was shouting and noise. They were already excited because they won.
Yeah.
You know what? It reminds me of the men's hockey team and Cash Patel, like pumping up and down with his arms and
spraying
beer, and somebody puts a medal on him, and, you know, they're all just there broing it out.
Right.
Yeah, that's what's happening here. And then they turn and they see Nicanor's dead, and it gets even more rowdy.
Sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Then there was shouting and noise, and they blessed the sovereign lord in the language of their ancestors. Yay! We won. Everything's groovy.
Yeah.
He who in all things was in body and soul the foremost champion of his fellow citizens, he who kept through life the good will of his youth toward his countrymen, Yahweh, ordered that Nicanor's head be... Oh, God ordered this. God ordered that Nicanor's head be cut off with his hand and arm, that they be brought to Jerusalem.
Mm.
Cut off his head and cut off his hand and arm.
Because we like to display how... Because
we're nasty.
Murderous we are.
We're nasty. We're bloodthirsty, brutal, and nasty.
I mean, they did. There was in Psalms, they danced in blood. So, you know.
Yeah.
There's not much coming back from that.
These guys are gross.
Right.
I'm sorry. They're just always gross. When he had arrived there and had called his countrymen together and set the priests before the altar, he set for those who were in the citadel, showing the head of the vile Nicanor and the hand of that profane man, with which with proud brags he had stretched out against the holy house of the Almighty, and cutting out the tongue of the impious Nicanor, cut out his tongue.
Mm.
He said that he would give it in pieces to the birds, to the birds with your tongue, and hang up these rewards of his folly near the sanctuary.
Okay.
So I saw a bird feeder a few days ago. Actually, it was this past weekend.
Yeah.
That was so cool looking. And now I decided I never want a bird feeder ever again because I'll always imagine Nicanor's tongue in it. And that's gross.
But most birds, I mean, like, there's birds that eat meat for sure. Like, you got
hawks
and stuff like that. But generally, they're not the ones that are bird feeders.
That's always going to be in my brain now that. Right. Nicanor's tongue.
Yeah.
Feed it to the birds.
Yeah.
They all, looking up to heaven, blessed the Lord who had manifested himself, saying, "Blessed is he who has preserved his own place undefiled." Yay, no fuckers got in the temple. Some of our wives might have died. Some of our kids might have died. Some of our own soldiers might have died, but nobody got into the temple. God is great.
It didn't sound like they killed anybody in the town, so.
God is great.
Sure.
I mean, if God was so great, we wouldn't have had to fight in the first place, but whatever. He hung Nicanor's head and shoulder from the citadel. That's very godly.
Mm.
a clear sign evident to all of the help of the Lord. That is not what I would be thinking when I looked at it. I would be thinking, y'all so fucking nasty.
Right.
They all ordained with a common decree to in no way let this day pass undistinguished.
There's another holiday?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm. But to mark with honor the 30th day of the 12th month. Okay. It is called Adar in the Syrian language. Mm-hmm. The day before the day of Mordecai.
Didn't we cover this in the last one, that there's the day of Nicanor or something mm-hmm. like that. Like there, but it's yeah. not like it's not celebrated anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I forgot. And they did have his, and yeah. we did a whole thing about how it was the big hand.
Right.
Yeah. Like the football yeah. game
yeah.
hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how you got to put your head out.
Right. It's just different context. That's all.
Yeah. So. And it's the day before the day of Mordecai.
Right. It was something. Yeah.
But that you could use a calendar and you could figure out what day it is every year.
Yeah.
And we were going to celebrate the day of Nicanor, Nicanor's day.
We never remember to do that shit.
I know. So. I'll have to remember. I'll have to look up that episode so I can remember what day it was.
Someday we'll get all of our things that we say we're going to do down yeah. and actually do them.
Yeah.
When we have more time.
We'll make a whole book about what we're going to do. Yeah. This, then, having been the account of the attempt of Nicanor, and the city having from those times been held by the Hebrews, I also will here make an end of my book.
Oh.
I, whoever I am.
Right, yeah. Whose book is this?
Suddenly we're in first person.
Right, yeah.
I am writing this shit down. I God, the author.
I who?
If I have written well and to the point in my story, this is what I myself have desired. But if it's poorly done and mediocre, this is the best I could do. That's literally what it says. For as it is distasteful to drink wine alone, and likewise to drink water alone, while the mingling of wine with water at once gives full pleasantness to the flavor, so also the fashioning of the language delights the ears of those who read the story. Here is the end. The end.
That's such a weird way to end.
I hope I did it good book. But if I didn't, well, who the fuck ever.
I'm really curious who wrote this book. Like that needs to be part of our
all I need to know is that whenever I do write a book someday, this will be the end. This having been blah 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 blah. And if it is poorly done and mediocre, this is the best I could do. I did the best I could, you fucks. Fuck your good readings so rating.
Either it's specifically God saying that, or literally it's admitting humans wrote parts of biblical texts.
Well, yeah.
Well, no, I'm like, people love to say that everything in the Bible is God's word. And then even Catholics will say that, you know, mm-hmm. like, so mm-hmm. like, obviously that is not
yeah.
God. And if it is, he's very wishy-washy about what he just wrote. I hope
it was good, but maybe it wasn't. Fuck off. If you didn't like it, you're welcome to try your... You go start your own blog.
You go write a Bible. Jesus. Christians were like, bet.
And then the Mormons were like, challenge accepted.
Oh, and Scientologists goodness. Were just like... Yeah.
Starting all we're over. We're using none of that.
You guys all suck.
This entire draft is trash.
Right,
we now know that a trash draft is acceptable.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter what we fucking write. Aliens?
Based on anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter. Just put out pamphlets and say that we're right. Mm-hmm. That's all.
And there's a like $1 million buy-in or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. That makes it. Yeah. Obviously. That's what you got to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway. That's it.
That was Second Macadoodles.
That's all she wrote. The next chapter of the Bible that we're going to be reading
is Matthew.
It's the New Testament.
I know.
We're going to be in the New Testament very, very soon.
That's very exciting.
It really is.
It took me a minute to get there, to get the excitement.
Right.
But I have the excitement now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. Now we're in like pseudo relevant stuff.
I know that our friend and listener Fern will be excited. They have been bitching about this for the last year
on Discord. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When are you ever getting to the New Testament, Fern? Right. We are getting to the New Testament.
Just like two or three more episodes, and then we're in it.
Yep. Yep.
So, all right. Well, thank you all for joining us. And if we did a great job, then, you know, thank you. If we didn't, then it's the best we could do.
We did the best we could. Best we could do. You know what? That's a lie, though, because did we?
Regardless, thank you. We'll see you next time.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.